Is Facebook using user data as a carrot and a stick? Fighting rivals, rewarding friends. Hello, everybody. Welcome to this episode of Behind the Media. I'm Dan Lothian.
And I'm Jimmy Young.
We find the interesting in media so you don't have to go searching for it. Like us on Facebook, use the hashtag Behind the Media to engage with us on Twitter, and listen on iTunes, iHeartRadio, and the CLNS Media Network. Today's episode is powered by Away, thoughtful standards for modern travel. Away makes suitcases for the way we all travel with features like an ejectable TSA-approved battery. And they come in a range of colors and materials that suit your travel style. For $20 off a suitcase, visit awaytravel.com and enter promo code CLNS. So sometimes when we do these Facebook stories, Jimmy, I almost feel like it's a broken record kind of thing. Like, oh, here we go. How's this one different from the last one? And it's yet another story of Facebook doing something with your information, and it's scary.
Right.
And Facebook's like, no, we're doing a lot of stuff to clean it up, so this won't happen again.
Right. Plus, if you go onto your privacy settings, you can turn us off.
Turn us off, right? So the sense is that if you turn everything off, you're good.
But if you're a lazy human like most of us,
we leave it all on.
We leave it on.
But this one is less about, you know, you turning, I guess, stuff on and off. They can still, whether you have something on or off, they know who you are and where you're going. They know it.
Well, by the way, doesn't Google know this too?
Well, but everybody isn't necessarily searching on Google. Everybody is on Facebook.
But Google is the number one search
engine. It is a search engine.
The number one.
But maybe they don't have the kind of information. I'm sure they have good information on people, but, you know.
But you use Google as a service to get you to another site.
Exactly.
Facebook, the site is.
The site is your destination.
Right.
You spend a lot of time on that destination. You post a lot of private information on that destination.
By the way, we do our live show on there most of the time.
Oh, wait a minute. That's
Remember
right.
that? And I don't really care what I say, obviously.
That's right. You can tell we're not getting any money
or anything from them. That's pretty much how we feel.
We think it's a wonderful vehicle to transmit live programming.
I'll tell you, and let's talk about that real quick because it's interesting. That's a new thing for them.
Right.
Okay?
It is new.
Relatively new.
Right.
And I'm pretty sure that they're not watching every live program that streams on there because they've had to take things down after the fact.
Right.
Yes.
They're not necessarily, yes, they're not in real time.
They can't be watching.
They can't be watching everything.
I
mean, there's so much stuff flowing through there, but they know what's going on. They know what's flowing across. They can go back and find it.
Yep. But this is really talking about the back end of information that advertisers really want access to.
Really want. And so.
And they're willing to pay for the back end information.
Exactly. Right. But this is a case of not necessarily them physically paying to get that information, but paying to be a customer, a very nice customer, and then getting intel that helps them to reach audiences.
So,
that's the allegation, at least, based on...
And that's a business model for a company that... It's not a private company, but it's a public company. But that they're trying to stay in business. They know that they have a commodity.
Right, they do.
They have a commodity. It's information that people have the right to opt out of. If you opt in, you are giving up that right.
Yes.
You are.
Right, but this is slightly different than that, Jimmy. This is
because he's playing favorites.
Right, exactly. So this is if you play with us, if you spend a lot of money, Mr. Advertiser, Mr. Company, or Mrs. Company
with us,
we will reward you with this data that's this public data that really well, private data of public people. And so you spend enough money with us, you can have access to it. You over here who normally might be competing with us. We see you as a threat. You know what? You're not going to have access to our information that we have that could really benefit you.
And even if they wanted to pay for it, Facebook is saying no to that.
Well, Facebook has said they're not selling that stuff.
Right.
You know, the ones who do get this nice little privilege are not saying, we're going to buy this information from you. What they're saying is, we're going to buy ads on your platform.
Right.
We're going to spend a lot of money on your platform. And then, you know, give us some little data.
We call that value added in the business, okay? I just want to say, if you spend $100, you're going to get a little something something. I'm sorry. It's, you know, it's just the nature of the beast. And that's commercial media, by the way.
You get a little something something. Like that. So this story, it's explosive.
By the way, it was called swag. It's called dinners out. It's called tickets to games. Come on. Should we keep going, Jen?
There are a lot of something somethings out there.
A big my definition of something.
That's right. So this explosive story came by the way of, well, NBC has put it out there, but NBC did not do the initial investigation. There's a British investigative journalist. His last name is Campbell, I believe.
Yeah, and it's 643 is the company that he works with.
And he shared it with, that's like an open source investigative platform.
Campbell.
Yeah, Duncan Campbell. Where, you know, a lot of people go in together on investigative, it's a consortium kind of thing where you go in together, consortium.
A consortium of investigative journalists.
Right, exactly. And so he shared it with not only that group, but NBC as well. And what they have, this story, is that there's some 4,000 pages, of information. It was leaked to this guy. 4,000 pages.
And we know where the leak came from.
Well, we think we know.
Okay.
Parliament. They said they got it.
These documents appear to be the same ones obtained by Parliament in late 2018 as part of the investigation into Facebook, where they got fined big time.
Yeah,
for
but
it.
I don't, like, all of these documents apparently were not leaked to Parliament. Only a portion of them.
400 of the 4,000.
Exactly. And so there's this sense, there's a lawsuit that's ongoing, and there's this sense that maybe it was.
Lawyers win again.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's what it is.
Okay.
But here's an example of what it is. So Facebook before, and this is according to this, this article on NBC. Facebook gave Amazon extended access to user data because it was spending money on Facebook advertising and partnering with the social network on the launch of its Fire smartphone. In the other case, Facebook discussed cutting off access to user data for a messaging app that had grown too popular and was viewed as a competitor. And this was according to documents that they were able to get. And these documents include emails, web chats, presentation spreadsheets, meeting summaries, all that good stuff. That the kind of stuff that you don't necessarily want to get out there publicly, but they have gotten their hands on this. And it's starting to, it's not a complete picture. Apparently, you know, the reporters who've been working on this have been trying to see, okay, where does this fit in terms of, because context is important. So they requested additional documentation from Facebook, and apparently they were not given that documentation. So you have to look at these as they stand alone, as they appear. Is this, in fact, as damning as it appears to be? This game, this carrot and stick game that Facebook is allegedly playing.
And by the way, this happens in capitalism everywhere. I'm sorry. I mean, you take care of your best customers.
Yes, but the thing is that Facebook, on the one hand, they're saying that they're protecting this data. They're not selling it. There are a lot of proclamations.
If you're spending $100 million for this.
There are
a lot
of proclamations that are made, and Facebook has been
talking out of both sides of their mouths.
Yes, exactly. And I think this is yet another blow to the Facebook image, if it still has one. I mean, it's one of those things. Facebook is still quite successful. We all use it. People talk about getting off of it. They still get back on it again.
Yeah.
But there's this every week something negative comes out about what, you know, either some strategy that Facebook has or some tactic that they're using, you know, how a data breach, something that happens almost on a weekly basis, and they can't get out in front of this. They have to figure out how can they get in front of it where they're not always, you know, putting out fires.
Right.
And if they're always playing catch up, I don't know how they can focus on really creating a system that can be secure and above board to where everybody is comfortable.
Especially when people have access, normal people have access to an audience. And that's what you're getting into with Facebook. And I wonder if they'll end up, I don't know, doing some kind of a subscription service at some point. I don't know.
Who knows what the answer will be? It could be much more difficult than we can imagine, or maybe it's pretty simple. I don't know. I mean, we don't know the full picture and the scope of what they are capable of doing, so it makes it a little hard to come up with the fix. But certainly if they are having a hard time coming up with the fix, then we know it must be pretty tough, right? I mean, there's a lot of...
And the criminals will always... The hackers...
They always figure out a way
around it. Out a way to get your information one way or another. If they really want it, they can get it.
They can get it, yeah.
I don't care how much you pay for LifeLock.
Well...
I do, by the way.
Yeah, you pay for it.
With a name like mine, I mean, let's face it, it's a rather common name.
Jimmy Young and LifeLock.
That's
together
right.
Together forever.
That's right.
So the what has been the response
from... Which Jimmy Young?
Yes, exactly. The one that's just a bit older.
Yeah.
boom, boom. So the Facebook has responded by saying that this information was really cherry-picked, and this again, so, well, then show us the whole thing, but they won't do that. They basically said, quote, as we've said many times, they have this organization that put it out there has cherry-picked these documents from years ago as part of a lawsuit to force Facebook to share information on friends of the app's users. This was according to the vice president over there at Facebook. Went on to say that the set of documents by design tells only one side of the story and omits important context.
Yeah, well, you know what? They're trying to... Actually, they're trying to figure out a business model that works and to give open access to the world and yet still protect personal data. And I don't know how they would do this. I wonder if there's a way. No, because you're always going to leave a digital footprint to where you were and what you looked at.
Yes, always.
Always.
And that's somebody has to store all that.
Right.
That's the thing. I mean, you there is so much information that's gathered on our whereabouts when we're on social media. Again, even if you turn things off, if you're logging into something, they'll know that you logged in.
Right. One thing I did learn over the years of this is when you go to a website and it asks you to sign in through Facebook.
Yes.
It's Facebook that's getting credit for the time on site, not the site you're going to get to.
And Facebook also knows that you then went to this other site and bought a pair of shoes and then yelled at somebody.
And then they gave you a rebate because, they're strategic partners with you.
And then they go to the advertiser and say, we can geo-target Dan.
Correct.
Or micro-target him. However you want it, we'll slice it for you because we know not only that Dan came and spent time on our platform, but he went to these other 10 places and came in through us.
And before you point the finger at Facebook and call them the biggest villain...
Point it at yourself.
In commercial, I always point at myself. Commercial media is set up so that the advertisers for the products that you buy on a regular basis want that consumer information.
Right.
B2C information and buying habits and spending habits in various parts of the world or in various cities and towns, outside, inside. That's valuable information enough to pay for it. And that's the whole point. You follow the dollar.
Right.
And that leads to issues because humans get paid by the dollar.
Well, they do. And I think the issue here is how much of a scheme, if I can call it that, how much of this thing do they have going where it is – you're not paying for it, but you do get treated differently.
It's like free TV, Dan.
Yes.
There's no such thing as free TV,
people. Nothing's ever free.
Sorry, just because you can have a digital antenna now and get the broadcast of the local stations on your smart TV, you're still paying for that because you're buying the products.
Yeah.
And that's how it works.
Nothing in life is free, Jimmy.
No, it's not.
Not even this podcast.
Or lunch.
Thanks for listening and enjoying this podcast. We know you did because we did. Like it, share it, keep listening on iTunes, iHeartRadio, and the CLNS Media Network. I'm Dan Lothian.
And I'm Jimmy Young.
And now you know what's behind the media.